Our scripture reading this morning is from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. It's always hard when you start a scriptural series to teach through because then you have interruptions. And so I'm just going to remind you that in Romans to begin with, we had the whole idea of the fact that we were in need of a Savior. And we're going to pick up with that and build on that. So this morning, Romans 5, 6 through 21. You see, just the right time, when we were still all powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And now, since we have been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Did you hear that? Reconciliation. We've been reconciled. Hallelujah. I want you to think for a moment. At a time in your life when someone you loved had made you angry and hurt you, and how that felt. And maybe you were justified to be angry because they really had done what was wrong. But you see, God has every right to be angry with us as sinners. But He said, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Do you hear that? He said, I love you. And I don't want us to be strangers. I don't want us to have walls built between us. And so He sent Jesus and He says, we are now reconciled. We're in good relationship. We can go to the Father and get the hugs when we need them. He says, I have opened the door and come to me. Anyway, let's stop preaching and go back to the scripture. Therefore, because we have been reconciled. Did you hear that? We've been reconciled? You got that. All right. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin was not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. But nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For the many died by the trespass of one man. How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? Now, I want you to think of a cup. And I want you to think of when you're pouring something into that cup. And you get distracted. And it starts to flow out. And it overflows. Ever done that? I won't tell you how many times I do that even now. But it happens. Especially with little grandchildren around. You're pouring something and they're asking you something. You look away or you hear a noise and you're wondering what's going on. And all of a sudden the cup's overflowing. I want you to have that picture because this is what God is saying. This is what He overflowed. But He overflowed. His love was overflowed for you and I. All right. Now, nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and it brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more would those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, He's keeping building step by step. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. But I want us to understand, because we need to understand that this is a beautiful picture because of a specific reason. So this morning I have a couple other scriptures that I want you to turn with me to. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to look at verses 31 through 34. Matthew 25, 31 through 34. But when the Son of Man comes, and I'm reading out of a paraphrase this morning, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered in His presence. And He will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. And then the King will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world." All right. This is talking about a judgment. And I want you to recognize that you're going to find several scriptures, and you'll find the word judgment is used in many different situations. So we can't just take the word judgment and say, okay, it applies to everything. Because there are different aspects to it. This is one of the judgments that is going to happen. It is one of the judgments where there will be separation. Separation between those who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb and those who have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So I want us to get that picture in our mind. Is this the only judgment? No. There is other judgments. You're going to find them throughout Scripture, but I'm going to ask you to turn to one more, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 13 through 15. Now this is the judgment that you and I will face as believers in Jesus Christ. Alright? So I want you to recognize this is, well, we're also going to face the other, but because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we get a second judgment. Okay? Hallelujah! And here is that judgment. Verses 13 through 15. But there is going to come a time of testing at the judgment day to see what kind of work each builder has done. Did you know you're a builder? I know John knew he was a builder. But did the rest of you recognize that you're builders as well? All right. Everyone's work will be put through the fire to see whether or not it keeps its value. If the work survives the fire, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builders themselves will be saved, but like someone escaping through a wall of flames. So I want you to see this picture. And I want you to understand, because there's another scripture that talks about that we'll be judged for every word, every thought. And I want you to recognize that each of these are a different aspect, and we need to look at that. So one of the things I want you to see is that for the unbeliever, every word and every thought is still going to stand. But for the believer, what has happened to yours and my sin? It's been washed away. God says it's put in the sea of forgetfulness. It's never to be seen again, because God can't bring up what's already been forgiven. It's gone. But this judgment is talking about how you and I walk out our salvation. Okay? This judgment is about our works. It's about the motivation for our works. It's about the heart of our works. If I do my works so that you can see them, Guess what I did this week? I gave you an assignment last week. How many of you did it? Okay, do you remember there was an assignment? Actually, that was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. Okay? All right. I really don't want to know, because that's between you and God. All right? I asked, but now I don't want to know. So. And if I came up here and I says, guess what I did? I would have already gotten my reward. But God says, you do the works, and if your heart is right, if you're doing them because you see the Father doing them, just as Jesus said, whatever I see the Father doing, that I do also. If those works are the ones that, when that fire comes, they're not going to be burned up. Hallelujah. But hallelujah, my sins are washed away. And the accuser, Satan, might say, oh, do you remember when he did this? Well, you know what God's reaction is going to be? No. Because it was already taken care of. No, I don't remember that. Hallelujah. But, guys, we need to understand something. The reason this church is not packed is because there are many people out there who don't understand that there will be a judgment. They also don't understand that what living in the kingdom of heaven gives us right now. And so we have many people who say, well, I want to get to go to heaven. But I don't want Jesus to run my life now. And so there are many people who try to fool God. Is he going to be fooled?
No.
They'll say, I accept you, Lord Jesus. They'll say the sinner's prayer. But when it comes to walking the walk, they don't want it. First off, what did he say we are called to do? We are called to bring the kingdom of heaven. Just as Jesus brought the kingdom of heaven, we are called to share that in the way we walk, in the way we talk. And I want us to realize that those are the works that God is going to look at. He's going to say, oh, you were building the kingdom of heaven when you shared that. You were building the kingdom of heaven when you brought Jesus to this individual. You were bringing the kingdom of heaven to this person when they were sick and you took care of them. You were building the kingdom of heaven when you watched Sarah's boy so that she could have surgery. You're building the kingdom of heaven when you are my Father's business, just as I was. Now, that doesn't mean that all of you are going to have to watch Kyle, because she's not going to have 60 days that she needs someone to watch Kyle. So I'm just trying to give us some application. This is just one application, but it may not affect you because God may not have called you to do that. So this is where we have to learn to hear the indwelling Spirit. The indwelling Spirit will say, you're the one. You need to do it. And then we shouldn't be second-guessing ourselves. I wish I could say, I can't believe the pastor said that. That would never happen in my life. But I can tell you from experience, sometimes I'm sure God gets tired of my second guessing. Learn to hear His voice. So, I wanted us to recognize that this passage of Scripture is such wonderful news, because it says, there is available to all of you salvation from judgment. And we're talking about the judgment of where we would be classified as goats. Scripture also says there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, is that a pretty picture? And there's a lot of misinformation out there. I shared with you several weeks ago that I'd gone to a funeral and I heard one of the people say to my nephew, just looks at how you live your life. And as long as you live a good life, you're going to get to heaven. Well, that's not what I understand the Word of God to say. The Word of God says, no man cometh unto the Father except through the Son. We need forgiveness. The judgment is for those, the judgment of separation as goats is for those who have not accepted Jesus as Lord. I want to be counted as a sheep on that day. But guys, we've got a lot of work to do. Now, it's funny how God just uses the Sabbath school classes sometimes. This morning I said my class that we had, they were building the foundation. And Stephanie was sharing that as she has come into her Christian life, there have been people that have refused to hear what she's trying to share. And she says, all I can do is pray for them and I can't, because I can't make them. Now, Stephanie, how did that make your heart feel when you had to give up those friends? It hurts. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. But guys, I think we get callous. Or so busy or whatever it is, somehow our hearts say, oh well, let someone else worry about them. And I want to say that's not seeing with our Father's eyes. If that was seeing with our Father's eyes, then He wouldn't have said, I send my Son. He wouldn't have bothered to show His love in such a tangible way. Our Father's eyes are constantly looking and praying and waiting. Sometimes, did you know, and that's probably the hardest part, I think, of Christianity, is waiting until the right process has happened that the door is ready to be opened. Because I'm an impatient person. And if you're anything like me, you want to see things happen before you ever thought that they needed to happen. So sometimes we as Christians have to wait. That doesn't mean we do nothing, okay? I want you to get that picture out of your mind as well. Waiting is not just ignoring. Waiting is doing what God has called us to do. To lift up the person in prayer. To pray, to be a prayer warrior, to intercede. Because you don't want them to be a goat. So, my challenge this morning is simply, let's not just read this as a story. Let's read this as God saying to you and I, get busy about my work. Because this is what's going to happen. It's a sure thing. And you're going to go one place or the other. And you need to be about the Father's business. Let's take it to heart. Every moment of every day. Amen. I would ask you all just to bow your heads and close your eyes. If there's someone this morning that has not given their heart to Jesus, I would ask that you would just raise your hand and after the service talk to me as we can go through what that means. If there's someone who has been wandering away and needs to recommit their life, now is the time. So just take time this morning to make sure that you are going to be with the sheep on that day. This we pray in Jesus' name.